This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Middle Path Radio, your number one online Islamic talk station.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Last week, we ended the story at a very crucial part. It's a very painful scene where our mother, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, may Allah give us an opportunity to offer our respect and our salam to her in paradise. Ameen. She was torn apart when she came to hear from her own mother that it was true. There was an allegation that was made against her and Safwan, wal-iyadu billah, and that was spreading, had spread for many days around Medina. People were gossiping about that. And her immediate reaction was to ask her mother, does my father know about this? And thereafter, does the Prophet ﷺ know about this? And to both of those questions, the answer was, unfortunately, they do know. And it was there that we left it. Okay, and she said that when I heard that, I cried the whole night and my tears were unrelenting. And I woke up in the morning without having, the morning came and I hadn't had one wink of sleep and the tears were still running down my face. Yeah, radiallahu ta'ala anha. That's how much it devastated her. Now, subhanallah, unfortunately, things actually had to get worse before they got better. So Aisha, she continues, and this is the hadith from Sahih Bukhari. She says, فَدَعَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَلِيَّ بْنِ أَبِي طَالِبْ وَأُسَامَ بْنِ زَيْدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُمَا حِينَ اسْتَلْبَثَ الْوَحِي يَسْتَأْمِرُهُمَا فِي فِرَاقِ أَهْلِي. She says, and so the Prophet ﷺ, he called upon Ali and Usama to hold a council and to consult them on whether or not he should leave his family. Yes. So Aisha, she came to realize that the Prophet ﷺ, he's called upon two of his companions. Both of them are young as well. Ali is young and Usama is young as well. And the reason why he's asked them to come is in order to see whether or not he should leave his family. Ibn Hajar, he said that Aisha, she never said whether or not he should leave his wife. She used the word Ahl, his family, because it was too difficult for her to say his wife. So she said instead his family. Now here, it makes you wonder, why is it that the Prophet ﷺ is going to the extent of asking people and actually considering whether or not he should leave his wife Aisha? Doesn't he know that she's innocent? Why does he have to seek anyone's advice about this? Now, what did Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu say? He actually said to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, if you want to, there is nothing preventing you from divorcing her. There is nothing preventing you from divorcing her. If you so wish, Allah may replace her. That's very difficult, isn't it, to hear something like that. How do we understand that? Well, is that fair to Aisha? Why did Ali make that suggestion for? Here's very interesting how Ibn Hajar, he explained this. Listen to this. He said, Ali radiallahu anhu, he saw the bigger picture. Okay, he saw that the Prophet has essentially two options here. One option is that he remains with his wife and he suffers the grief of the gossiping and the rumor, which is impacting on his ability to communicate the message of Islam. You see, when this allegation was made, whose integrity was targeted? Not just Aisha, was it? It was her husband as well, the Prophet ﷺ. People are talking about you, your family, they obviously start to think bad of you. Now that's not really a problem on a personal level, but it becomes an issue when it's on the level of your prophecy. When you speak and you tell people about Allah, do they listen to you like they used to listen to you? You see? So Ali said, this is one option. Remain and endure that negative impact is having on his mission. The other option is what? To leave her and deal with the personal hurt of having to be away from his wife, but at least carry on with the mission. And between the two, which one is the better option? Which one? To stay or to leave? You think to stay? No, according to Ali, it was to leave. So you have to appreciate, brothers and sisters, that the Prophet ﷺ, he's not just a husband. He's not just a husband. He is number one, first and foremost, the messenger of Allah. Being given this burden of communicating Allah's religion to the whole of mankind. And everything else comes second to that. Everything else comes second to that. You know, people that have an unusual amount of responsibility, they tend not to have normal lives. Tend to have unusual lives. I mean, I want you to think about a president of a country. Okay? The type of day that in the life of a president is not like the day in the life of somebody else, is it? And who is affected by that day? The family. Yes, the family. The family have to be penciled in for an appointment with their father or their husband. Because, you know, he's got people from all around the world seeking his advice, his help. He's got a decision to make for the whole country, etc., etc. Now, who has a more important role? A messenger of Allah or the president of a country? Of course, right? Of course. So, in this dilemma, it's about, first and foremost, how is this affecting my mission as a messenger? Secondly, it's about how is it going to affect me and my heart regarding my beloved wife Aisha, subhanAllah. And who saw that? Ali radiallahu anhu saw that. And this is why the Prophet, he himself called the council, because of this bigger picture. Now, of course, this was devastating for Aisha. After, so Ali suggested this, and Usama suggested, no, just stay with her. There's nothing bad about her whatsoever. What the people are saying is absolutely false. The Prophet was undecided. So a new character enters the story. A lady whose name is Barira. She was one of the servants of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And so what happened is, the Prophet ﷺ, either he went up to her directly or he sent someone to ask her the following. Ayy Barira, hal ra'ayti alayha min shay'in yaribuk? She was asked, oh Barira, do you see anything in Aisha that makes you somewhat suspicious? Yes. Look at what she said, subhanAllah. She said, I don't know anything. I don't know anything whatsoever negative about her, except for one thing. She's young and slightly immature, to the point that when she makes bread and she begins to knead the dough, she falls asleep. And then the sheep comes along and takes it away. That's what I've seen that's kind of strange about her. Not really right. Now, Ibn Hajar, he said that Barira, she was a very wise lady. She wasn't talking literally. She was striking an example to illustrate how, to the extent of how innocent Aisha is. In another narration, she said, she's purer than gold. She is purer than gold. Now, when the Prophet heard that, what did he do? He said, you know what, this is enough. Enough is enough. And so, he went to the masjid. He called the people for a congregation and he delivered a khutbah. And in that khutbah he said, Ya ma'ashar al-muslimin, may ya'adhiruni min rajulin, qad balagani adahu fi ahli bayti. He said, oh Muslims, oh gathering of Muslims, who is going to take care of this man? From him I have received so much hurtful behavior regarding the integrity of my family. Which man is he talking about? Yes, Ibn Ubay. He doesn't mention him by name, but everyone knows who's the guy behind the scenes, right? What does it mean, who will take care of him? Ibn Hajar said it can mean who is going, yeah, some said it means who's going to kill him, yeah, and some said it means who is going to expose him for what he's done, okay, expose him and put an end to it. So one man stands up, okay, and he says, Ya Rasulullah, I will deal with him. If he's from the Ansar, then you know what? Finish. I'm from the Ansar, I'll deal with him. And if he's from the Muhajirun, then we'll find a way to deal with him as well. Now what happened is, in that moment, the buddies of Ibn Ubay, they got riled up. They stood up and said, no one's taking anyone out. And it turned into a believers versus hypocrites thing, into a Aus versus Khazraj thing. Aus versus Khazraj. Yes. And people started to recall the old tribal fanatical ways, and a huge argument broke out in the masjid, and the Prophet is standing on the minbar. And so subhanAllah, Aisha says that what the Prophet had to do, فَلَمْ يَزَلْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَمْ يُخَفِّضُهُمْ حَتَّى سَكَتُوا وَسَكَتُ. That the Prophet, he kept on telling them, be quiet, be quiet. Until eventually they quieted down, and the Prophet himself was lost for words. What's happened here? I was trying to put an end to things, and it just escalated on another level. Ibn Hajar said in another narration, the Prophet actually got down from the minbar, had to go into the crowd and physically stop them from fighting, subhanAllah. And when eventually they calmed down, the Prophet didn't know what to say anymore. Yes, he didn't know what to say anymore. And that just made Aisha feel so much worse. All of this is happening on account of me. She says, وَقَدْ بَكَيْتُ لَيْلَتَيْنَ وَيَوْمًا. He says, after that I cried for 2 nights. I'd already cried for a whole night when I found out what was going on. When I heard about what happened in the masjid, I cried another night and a day. And she says, my tears were unrelenting. I didn't get a wink of sleep when I woke up in the morning. And it was as if I had been crying from that moment. She says, my mother and father, they saw me in this state. And يَظُنَّانِ أَنَّ الْبُكَاءَ فَالِقُ كَبِدِي. They thought that my liver would burst because of the grief that I was stricken with. SubhanAllah. Can you imagine seeing your daughter in that state? What a dilemma. And this, you know, one thing I want to highlight is, what does that mean, my liver was about to burst? It's what they call an idiom. It's a saying of the Arab culture which expresses the level of grief someone is experiencing. Yeah. Now here, the companions of the Prophet, they were not over dramatic people. You know, they weren't people that used to exaggerate. The Arabic language is very emotive. But Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she is sharing with us some very deep and personal parts of her life with us, isn't she? Imagine, she's telling the whole world basically. All the world, that this is how I felt. Why did she share such personal, deep, private matters? In order that perhaps one of us will never have to go through the same thing again. When you hear about what I went through, perhaps you will be careful in your life and you don't have to go through what I had to go through. Yeah, radiallahu ta'ala anha. So what happens next is that the Prophet, he comes to visit her. And usually he would come and give salam and ask how she's doing, and he would leave. But this time, she says, he stayed and he came close to me and he sat down. Yes, and she says, I was still in tears. قَالَتْ فَتَشَهَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَمْ حِينَ جَلَسَ ثُمَّ قَالَ. So he sat down and he began with what? أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. In another narration, in Alhamdulillah, like you saw a khutbah. And then he said, Amma ba'd. As for what follows. You can just imagine, when someone starts off like that, something serious is about to be dropped, isn't it? Come on, starting off like a starting a khutbah. The Prophet is going to say something extremely serious. And Aisha, she must have felt so anxious. He's saying the kalima. What's going to come next? Yeah. So she says, Amma ba'd. He said, as for what follows, Ya Aisha, فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ بَلَغَنِي عَنْكِ كَذَا وَكَذَا. He said, O Aisha, it has reached me news about you regarding this and that. فَإِنْ كُنْتِ بَرِيئَةً فَسَيُبَرِّئُكِ اللَّهِ. And he said, if you are innocent, then don't worry, Allah will pronounce your innocence for you. وَإِنْ كُنْتِ أَلْمَمْتِ بِذَنْبٍ فَاسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ وَتُوبِ إِلَيْهِ. And then he said, but if you have amlamti, this word Ibn Hajar says it means, if you've done something out of character in terms of sin, then seek Allah's forgiveness and turn back to Him and make tawbah. SubhanAllah. Imagine that. Aisha is being told by the Prophet ﷺ, look, if you've done nothing wrong, don't worry, Allah is going to come. And Allah is going to pronounce your innocence for you. But if you have done something which is not right, then ask Allah to forgive you. How outrageous must that have sounded to Aisha? Isn't it? And you know what she said? She said, قَلَسَ دَمْعِي حَتَّى مَا أُحِسُّ مِنْهُ قَطْرًا. She said, at that moment my tears stopped immediately. My face dried up and it was as if I had never cried before. And Ibn Hajar said her grief turned to anger. She became angry at the Prophet ﷺ. Like, how can you say such a thing to me? And she said, subhanAllah, listen to this. She said, فَقُلْتُ وَأَنَا جَارِيَ حَدِيثُ السِّنِّي لَا أَقْرَأُ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. She says, you know what? She's basically, she's going to say something, but she's trying to explain why she said what she said. She said, look, I was a young girl, not many years old, and I hadn't read much Qur'an. Okay? Because she's going to make a little mistake here. She's telling you why she makes that mistake. But she said, إِنِّي وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ لَقَدْ سَمِعْتُمْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ حَتَّى إِسْتَقَرَّ فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ وَصَدَّقْتُمْ بِهِ. Who's in the room right now? The Prophet ﷺ, her father Abu Bakr, and her mother. She says, I swear by God, I know that all of you have heard of this rumor and it has become buried inside of you up until the point that you have started to believe it. Imagine who she's saying this to. Yeah. She's very angry. Yes. And she says, she doesn't finish there. He says, فَلَئِنْ قُلْتُ لَكُمْ إِنِّي بَرِيئَةٌ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلِمُ أَنِّي بَرِيئَةٌ لَا تُصَدِّقُونِي بِذَلِكَ. She says, and I know, if I said to you, I'm innocent, and Allah knows, by the way, I'm innocent, that you would not believe me. وَإِلِنِ اَعْتَرَفْتُ لَكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلِمُ أَنِّي مِنْهُ بَرِيئَةٌ لَا تُصَدِّقُونِي. And she said, but if I tell you that I am guilty, and Allah knows that I'm innocent, you would go ahead and you would believe it. SubhanAllah. Yes. So she says, what I did then, well, she says, Wallahi, ma ajidu lakum mathalan illa qawla Abi Yusuf. This is the mistake she makes. She says, she's talking to her parents and to the Prophet. She says, you know, I don't find an example like this, except the example of the father of Yusuf. Who's the father of Yusuf? Everyone knows Yaqub alayhi salam. But she's only 15 years old. I didn't read much of the Quran, she says. Meaning, I didn't remember his name. Okay? I didn't remember his name. You know what I'm talking about. The father of Yusuf, when he said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. A beautiful patience I'm going to have about the things that you are talking about. She compared herself to Yusuf's father, Ya'qub, when his sons came. And they said, Father, your son Yusuf has been devoured by a wolf. What did his father say? He said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. All I can do is have beautiful patience right now about the kind of things you are saying. وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ. Whilst I'm going to seek Allah's help and support. And then she says, I turned around, I faced the wall, and I laid back down on my bed. And I started to cry all over again. SubhanAllah. Isn't it amazing, Yani, subhanAllah, that someone so close to Allah was put through so much suffering? Isn't that amazing? It shows you that, you know what, subhanAllah, that in life, if you have it difficult, it doesn't mean that Allah doesn't love you. It just means that Allah is testing you. Yeah. So she says, what happened is, after I said that, I laid down for wallahi. This is now where the story turns. He says, I swear by Allah, مَا رَامَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ وَلَا خَرَجَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ حَتَّى أُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ. She says, the Prophet ﷺ, neither he left nor anyone else left from the house when revelation started to come down to the Prophet ﷺ. And she described it. He said, what would happen to the Prophet ﷺ when revelation would begin? He would enter into this kind of zone where he would have this faraway look in his eyes. And he would begin to sweat, and it would pour down his face like beads, like pearls, she said, come down his face. And he would start to feel heavy. And his body would physically become heavier because of the weight of the revelation. And then she said, however, he raised up his face after revelation had ceased, and he had a big smile on his face. And he says, Ya Aisha, أَمَّ اللَّهُ فَقَدْ بَرَّأُكِ. He said, O Aisha, as for Allah, He has declared your innocence. Allahu Akbar. Allah has spoken on behalf of Aisha. He has cleared your name, O Aisha. Her mother, she says, she runs up to her. And she says, قُومِ إِلَيْهِ. Stand up, go to him. Go on, he's telling you that everything's okay now. What does she say? She says, Wallahi, I swear by Allah, I'm not going to stand for anyone. And I'm not going to thank anyone except Allah. Allahu Akbar. I'm not going to thank anyone except Allah. Allah is the one who revealed the verse in Surah Al-Nur, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. SubhanAllah. When Allah said, and a gang from amongst you has brought forth this preposterous line. Don't think of it as something evil, rather it is something good for you. Allahu Akbar. 10 verses came down to pronounce the innocence of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Subhanallah al-Azim. I don't know of anyone who Allah has revealed more Quran for from the companions of the Prophet than Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. I don't know of another companion who has 10 verses in the Quran revealed for their sake. It's amazing. Now obviously, there's much to say here. There's one part I in fact missed out, okay, which is particularly hurtful for Aisha. What happened is that, you know, when the Prophet ﷺ, he said to her, look, if you've done nothing wrong, don't worry, Allah will exonerate you, Allah will pronounce your innocence. But if you have, then seek Allah's forgiveness, make tawbah. You know what she did there? She turned to her father and she looked at him like, you need to speak on my behalf now. If there was ever a time I need you to support me, this is it. What did Abu Bakr say? He says, مَا أَدْرِي مَا أَقْهُلُ. He says, I don't know what to say. I'm sorry, I don't know what to say. And then she looked at her mother. Come on, mother. You of all people, my mother. Her mother said, وَاللَّهِ مَا أَدْرِي مَا أَقْهُلُ. I don't know what to say. I'm sorry. And they put their heads down. At that moment, subhanAllah, no one on the face of this earth, it seemed, was on the side of Aisha. She was all alone. Now how do you explain that moment? How is it that Abu Bakr didn't stand up and say, look, she's innocent. Why are you even suggesting that she could have done such a thing? Ibn Hajar explains it amazing. He says, in that moment, Abu Bakr, okay, and his wife were torn between helping their daughter and being loyal to the Prophet. And in that moment, who did they decide to side with? The Prophet ﷺ. Unbelievable. Look at the faith of these people. SubhanAllah, your own daughter. But if it means between you and the Prophet ﷺ, I choose the Prophet ﷺ. You can't blame them for what they did. Now from this amazing story, there's some super lessons which I want to share with you. And we'll end with that inshallah. The first lesson, my brothers and sisters, is we live in a time of social media, okay, and people's lives, they revolve around their social media presence more than ever before. And what people think of them matters more today than it had ever done before. True or not, isn't it? You know, recently I heard about this story, you probably heard of it as well, that there was this woman, she killed her boyfriend whilst Facebook Live was going on because she tried to do a stunt that went horribly wrong. Did you hear about this? So in America, the whole places, both of them agreed that what they're going to do, they're going to have a stunt. They're going to do outside of their home. They're going to call all the neighborhood to watch as she pulls the trigger on a gun at point blank range, firing into a phone directory and hoping it doesn't go through and reach her boyfriend. So he holds the phone book right on his chest. She has the gun there. Facebook Live is going on. Everyone is there waiting to see what happens. She pulls the trigger, it goes straight through and it kills her boyfriend. And now she's going to jail. When asked, what made you do such a thing? You know what she said? Me and my boyfriend just wanted to increase our presence on social media. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's, you laugh, but it's so sad at the same time, isn't it? Huh? Well, she did, and she can enjoy it in jail now, isn't it? Allahumma san. What is the point of me telling you this? Brothers and sisters, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, at this moment in her life, it must have felt like, you know what, no one loves me anymore. No one loves me. Everyone's turned against me. Even my mother and father are not siding with me. But in that moment, she was being taught a lesson. And that was, it doesn't matter what people think of you, it matters what Allah thinks of you. Isn't it? Sometimes it can happen that people, they think you're a bad person, or you've done something terrible. But what you should be thinking about is, what does Allah think of me? And that thought and that conviction can help a person go through some very dark times in their life, isn't it? Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says, after my mom and dad said that to me, I said to them, you know what, I'm just like Ya'qub alayhi salam, I'm going to say, Wallahu musta'an. I'm just going to rely solely on Allah. This is one lesson. Don't care about what people think of you. What you should care more about is what Allah thinks of you. Yeah, and sometimes that means being a person who maybe people don't like. But if you know, if you're doing something that Allah likes, then keep on doing it. First lesson. The second lesson is, subhanAllah, one of the real gems from this story is the way Allah, He nurtures tawakkul in the hearts of the believers. The way He does that. One of the ways Allah does that is by making you suffer in life. And by preventing even the closest people coming to your aid and support. Isn't it? Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she, at one point in her life, everyone was carrying her around on a hodaj. Isn't that how her story begins? She has this fancy cart that people carry around and place on a camel when she gets taken about. And then it's got to this stage where even her mother and father are not supporting her. Yes. What does that teach her? It teaches her that, you know what, in life, sometimes Allah hurts you with the people closest to you, so you learn to rely on Him and Him alone. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ You alone do we worship, and it is you alone who we seek help from. When you have friends in life, people who love you, support you, have your back, okay, your reliance on Allah begins to diminish, isn't it? In a problem, don't worry, I've got contacts. I found so-and-so, he'll come and help me, no problem. But if Allah removes everyone from your life, who do you end up turning to? Turning to Allah. Yes, this is another beautiful lesson. And lastly, the last lesson is, when it comes to the chastity of our fellow believing brothers and sisters, it is a very sensitive matter. Very sensitive. And your duty is that you have to honor their dignity by dismissing allegations when they come to you. Let me explain that. There were very few people who actually hit the mark when this fitna erupted. Of them was Abu Ayyub. Be like Abu Ayyub. You know his story? During the days where all this was going on, he came home from work one day, okay, and Ayyub, his wife, she says to him, "Oh Abu Ayyub, have you heard what people are saying about Aisha?" You know, it happens sometimes. Okay, your wife says, "Do you know what people are saying about so-and-so? Nasty stuff going around nowadays, you know. Have you heard about it? What do you think about that anyway? I'm just talking here. I'm not saying anything. I'm just going to see what do you think about that? You know, what's your thoughts on that?" So Abu Ayyub, you know what he said? He said, "I've heard it. And it is an outright lie." Let me ask you something. Would you do such a thing? SubhanAllah, he asked his own wife, "Would you do such a thing?" Ayyub, what did he say? "Of course not. I never do anything like that." He said, "Wallahi, Aisha, she's better than you." Aisha, she's better than you. You think she could do such a thing? Would you do that? No, I wouldn't. She's better than you. And subhanAllah, this is the gem here. And as regular people, if people make allegations regarding the chastity of another brother and sister, it's not enough to say, I don't believe it. It's not enough. You have to say, I don't believe it. I think better of them. And this is a lie. And that is the Islamic code of practice when it comes to allegations about the chastity of other people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to benefit from the lessons of this story and give us the opportunity to learn more about the lives of the mothers of the believers. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Hadha wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Fajazakumullahu khairan. Barakallahu feekum.
Middle Path Radio, your number one online Islamic talk station.